Are we sometimes a fleshly people? You can look and draw that conclusion about the disciples and specifically Thomas. They that are in the flesh cannot please God. We know these things. Has it made a difference in our lives for His glory and for His honor? But he's the genuine article because, in my opinion, Thomas wasn't going to sit there and say, "Yep, Lord, got the spiritual message, understand it, we're with you on this one." Thomas wasn't afraid to say, "Lord, I don't get it. Lord, I don't understand." Everybody else was, "I don't want to look like the dummy. I don't want to look like the idiot. I don't want to look like the unspiritual one." Thomas says, "Lord, don't know where you're going. If you don't know where you're going, how are we going to know the way?" It's good to ask the Lord to help you to understand. It's good to let the Lord know that you need help. It's good to humble yourself before the Lord and say, "Lord, I feel sometimes like I've got blinders on, like I've got scales on my eyes. They need to fall off. I don't understand these things the way I ought to. I'm embarrassed about it. I don't know, but Lord, I want to know." That's what Thomas is saying here. "I own my nothingness, Lord." And from the last lesson that I just learned in chapter 11, I know that your ways are way above my ways. I know that your thoughts are way above my thoughts. And so I'm not embarrassed, Lord, to come before you begging to please tell me what you're talking about here. And we wouldn't have the verse on the wall, I submit to you, if Thomas didn't ask the question. We wouldn't have that great truth. The next verse, like I said before, we know chapter 14. We're familiar with the first few verses there. We usually stop there. We're familiar with verse 6, but we're not real familiar with verses 4 and 5. That's our subject today. It's good. It's good to ask the Lord for help. This is a mighty man of God, one of the 12 chosen disciples. And he said, "Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." And I think we should draw the conclusion once again that this is a man that loved the Lord and he didn't want to be separated from his Lord. He didn't want that. And that's what we see in that question. The answer that the Lord Jesus gives to the question that Thomas asks helps us to understand that, you know what? It's all about the persons. Christianity is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Christianity is all about the Father. It's about coming unto the Father. It's not about the place. In the adult Bible class, we've been studying Revelation, and there's a couple of chapters there that talk about what heaven may be like, what heaven's going to be like, I should say. But we don't really know the intimate details about the place. And the Lord Jesus is telling Thomas right here, "You misinterpreted these first few verses of the chapter. You misinterpreted what I said. It's not about the place. It's about the persons. It's about being fit for the presence of God. And the way is myself. I am the way, the Lord Jesus is saying unto Thomas. So what great truths are revealed unto us when we humble ourselves before the Lord and say, Lord, help me to understand. The last portion is the one that we're all familiar with in chapter 20. Before we read these verses here, I'm going to say a name. You tell me what you think of, by the way, okay? What do you think of when I say Abraham?
Faith.
What do you think of when I say David, for example?
The love.
I'm sorry?
King.
King. Right? What do you think of when I say Daniel? Lions, then?
Right?
What do you think of when I say Peter? Hasty? Yeah. What do you think of when I say Thomas? I want you to change your mind. This is what I want you to think of from now on when you hear the word Thomas. He missed the meeting. I want you to think of he missed the meeting when you think of Thomas. Okay? Now let's read some verses. Chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Verse 24, But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were inside, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach here thy finger, and behold my hand. Reach here thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believe me. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. This is a picture of the assembly, right? Gathered together, separated from the world, and there is Jesus in the midst. Doesn't matter how many. Scripture says two or three. There am I in the midst. But there was one thing missing. The man that we're speaking about. He wasn't there. It says that those that were there were fearful. That was probably characterizing Thomas too. He was probably fearful. Oh no. He died. Oh no. What's my life going to be like now? Oh no, our leader is dead. They're going to come after us next. He was probably fearful just like those that were in the upper room.